Hello and welcome. This is the Nicholas Natale Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Natale. Today we're talking about traditional versus Roth IRAs. What are they? What's the difference? Before we dive in, like Michael Phelps, I want to chat with you entrepreneurs out there. What's up, entrepreneurs? You looking to optimize your performance? When's the last time you sat down to consider ways you could refine your leadership? Do you have a plan for your succession? My man Scott Anderson from Double Dare You has got the magic potion for you. Scott is an entrepreneur coach and business consultant who has 300% average. The average is 300% clarity and confidence increase from his clients. He's helped scale over 550 businesses and more than 2,200 executives. He's a legend, and he's offering listeners of the Nicholas Natale Show a free consultation call. It's free. Visit doubledareyou.us to schedule your free consultation call today. That's doubledareyou.us for your free consultation call. And since you are a people of the internet, go ahead and go to nicholasnatale.com/shop for some merch. Merch will be changing soon, so get your current gear while you can. You got to get the current stuff. Go to youtube.com/nicholasnatale for videos every Monday. I plan on throwing some more entrepreneur-esque content on there, and leave a 5-star review for this podcast. Do it. Then share this episode with a friend on the social medias. Tell everyone you know. To all the daddies you got in your contact list, say, "Hey, daddy, I thought you might like this." And send them this episode. If you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, reach out to me at Nicholas Natale on Instagram for more information. Also, I created a 2-minute personal finance survey. It takes 2 minutes to complete. That's it. And it would greatly help me gauge where your biggest struggle points are in your finances. You know, and then I could put out some content that's going to be a little more helpful. That link will be in the show notes, and it's also in the link in my bio on Instagram. Also, for this entire series, I want you to know I'm not a financial advisor. You know, I'm just a guy. I'm a personal finance enthusiast who's done some research on some things so you don't have to. The riddle for this week is, how do you steal a coat? Stay tuned to the end of the episode to find out. That was the intro. Now here's the episode. Woo, here we go. What is going on, folks? Today, we're going to continue our Money 101 series, walking through the timeline of what you should do with your finances and in what order. First episode, we chatted about budgeting, and then we did debt. And now, we're going to evaluate the differences between Roth and traditional IRAs. Once again, we have a mini checklist to complete before even considering whether to decide to go with the traditional or the Roth. Let's recap. Let's do a little recap, recapitalization. I think that's how the full word for recap. 1, you've created a budget. 2, you've saved $2,000 or 1 month emergency fund, whichever is greater. 3, you match the percentage of your employer-sponsored retirement fund. You know, whatever your employer is like, "Hey, I'll give you 5% or you throw in 5%. You did that. 4, you got out of debt. You're completely debt-free. 5, and we haven't discussed this, you need to save a 6-month emergency fund now. That's 6 months worth of expenses. So in case anything happens, you can survive for 6 months or be able to throw down some cheddar cheese if you find yourself in a medical emergency. Some people save a year's worth. I say 6 months worth. You know, you're capable people. I believe you'd be able to land on your feet within 6 months. However, do what's comfortable for you. I'd say a 6-month minimum and a 1-year maximum emergency fund. Anything more than that, superfluous. Superfluous, in my opinion. Now, where should you keep this bigger emergency fund? You can keep it in a checking account or a savings account. Those are decent places. You definitely need it liquid, as we talked about. Gotta have it readily available for use. But if you want to do it big, here's what I suggest. I suggest using an online high-yield savings account. What the heck even is that, right? What is that? We haven't mentioned a high-yield savings account previously. We've never even said it. Well, we're saying it now. What the heck is it? It's just a savings account online. I mean, I'm kind of kidding, but I'm kind of not. It's a savings account that's federally insured. Most are insured between $250,000 and $500,000, and it earns a rate that's far higher than the national average for other savings accounts. You know, for example, I like giving examples. For example, these online savings accounts can earn around 0.5% API, you know, an annual, that's an annual percentage yield. It's basically like an interest rate, how much it's going to grow. And the rest of the nation's savings average is a 0.04% APY. And why is this important? Let's crunch some numbers. Let's find out. So some real deal numbers. Let's say you have $10,000 in your emergency fund that you saved up for six months. And it's inside of a high interest savings account for an entire year. And with a 0.50 APY, you'd earn a little more than $50 after that first year. Ooh, I bet you're sold now. That extra $50 gonna make you filthy rich. But on the real, compare that to a normal savings account with a 0.005 APY, you'd earn about $5. It makes a difference. In my opinion, it's like, would you rather have $50 and not do any work or $5 and not do any work? It's the same thing. Your money's gonna be in an account. It's just a matter of, do you want some extra change? So I would say look for one of those and look for the accounts that have the higher interest rates, obviously, and hopefully no service charges. Many of them have a monthly fee, but waive them if you meet a balance minimum, which basically just means you have enough money in your account to where they're like, oh, yeah, well, we trust this guy. We'll waive this fee for you. No big deal. And also the last little note, you know, I've used one and I also have one. From what I've also seen in just researching for this is most of them have pretty user-friendly websites and apps, which is a pro for me because I hardly ever have cash on me. I'm more of a digital kind of guy anyway, so if it has a nice app or website, that makes me more inclined to use it. And I'm going to put an article from NerdWallet in the show notes. It's not like sponsored or anything. I just read it and I was like, this is nice. And it has a consolidated list of some of the top online savings accounts. You know, everything is listed from the minimums you have to have in there to the interest rate each bank is offering. It's nice. Excuse me. It's nice, but it's also a great place to get started. All right. So after you've saved up your 6-month emergency fund or really pounded that into your brains, you can now begin considering a traditional or Roth IRA. And before I explain what either one of those are, I know it's killing you. It's important for me to explain what capital gains and what capital gains tax is, because once you understand capital gains, it'll be a little easier to get a feel for the difference between, you know, how those two accounts are. So capital gains. Capital is an asset that you have. For example, a stock that you bought can be capital. I'm going to take a little swig. This one's sponsored by Gatorade. This swig is for you, Gatorade. Delicious. Gains are when the value of your asset increases. So that stock that you have, it goes up. Capital gains tax is when your capital or your asset increases in value and you decide to sell it so you can get that profit. The government then taxes that profit amount. Let's use some real numbers. You know me, I'm a man of practicality. If you bought a stock for $1,000 and it went up to $1,500 and you sold it, the $500 in value and profit that it went up would be taxed by the government. So they would get the government would get a portion of that $500. So if the capital gains tax was 20%, the government would get $100 and you'd get to keep $400. It'd still be sitting in your pocket. You know, state capital gains tax in California is 13%. Federal capital gains tax is based off of your income. And that's not really important for the point that I'm trying to make. Overall, I'm just saying if your money makes some money, you owe some money. Right? If your asset, your capital gains profit, you're going to get taxed on the profit. That's capital gains tax. And another important note is that you pay that capital gains tax when you sell your assets. So just because you have a stock that is growing in value, you don't pay the capital gains tax until you sell it. However, if you receive dividends from a stock, you have to pay the tax on that income the same year the dividends are paid, because it's like income. But the ins and outs of stocks and dividends, that is for another podcast. Can I get an amen? A hallelujah. We can do another episode on that. All right, let's get into some accounts. Let's do a brokerage account and IRAs. First, what's a brokerage account? What is one of them? I have a brokerage account. A little subtle flex for the kids. A brokerage account is it's just that. It's just an account that you can invest inside of. So if you put your money into a brokerage account, it's just going to sit there. It's an account. You put cash into an account, it's going to sit there, right? You have to open a brokerage account and then buy a stock or a mutual fund or an ETF, etc. inside of it. Does that make sense? I feel like that makes sense. An account just holds cash, but a brokerage account, you have to buy a stock, mutual fund, or something inside of it in order for it to grow and do stuff. So the perks of a brokerage account is that there is no contribution limit. You can put as much money into that account as you want. However, your normal income is taxed. You know, if you have a day job, you know, you make 100K, you're still going to get taxed on that, and you don't get to tax deduct your contributions. And you're also taxed on your capital gains. So it's pretty much it's an account that you can invest in, and then when you sell stuff, you pay taxes on the stuff you sell. That's a brokerage account. My opinion on brokerage account is only contribute inside of a brokerage account after you've maxed out your retirement accounts for any given year. Brokerage account. In sum, you can invest inside of it, you're taxed on the gains, there's no limits to the contributions. That makes sense. Tax like normal, tax on capital gains. It's fine. What's an IRA? An IRA, once again, an IRA is just an account. An IRA itself is not an investment. An IRA stands for Individual Retirement Account. It's basically a special type of brokerage account when you think about it. You know, it's an account that you can invest inside of. So once again, if you put cash inside of an IRA, it's just going to sit there until you buy something like a stock or an index fund, etc. inside of it. You know, with an IRA, you got options. There's the Roth or there's the traditional. It's individual, which means you open it yourself with your social security number. And it also has a handful of limitations. You know, brokerage account is kind of like free range. with IRAs, they got a little more limitations on them. So that's an IRA. It's just an account. So what's up with the Roth IRA? What's up with it? Chicken broth IRA. Do you ever think about that? That's not useful information. But what do you need to know about a Roth IRA? You can't contribute more than $6,000 a year into it. Unless you're 50 or older, then you can contribute $7,000 into it. You can't withdraw your money in there until you're 59 and a half years old. You got to wait that one out, baby. If you become a super baller, there are ways to get this money, but 59 and a half is the government rule. And most people, you're probably just gonna do that. You can't contribute to a Roth IRA at all unless you make less than $125,000 as a single or $198,000 as a couple. And these numbers, from what I've seen, they fluctuate by year. Excuse me. They fluctuate by year. I got these numbers. These are the most recent numbers. I got them from irs.gov. Because I think the year before last year, 2018, it was like 123 and 193. They change by year. Swig number two. Now, the cool thing about Roth IRAs is that the growth of your investments inside of your Roth IRA is never taxed. That's pretty cool, huh? And how is that a thing? My guess is that the government is giving us an incentive to invest in our own retirements, trying to keep us from relying on Social Security, but it's a shot in the dark. All I know is I don't want to be a saggy old man without any money. I'd rather be a saggy old man with money. So for example, I'm a man of practicality. So for example, if you had that $1,000 stock we mentioned earlier in a Roth IRA and it went up to $1,500, you get to keep all of it when you're 59 and a half. It's pretty cool. There is no capital gains tax on Roth IRAs. It's after-tax contributions, and then you never get taxed again. And I am Superman of practicality, so let's give some more numbers on this tax break. So the way the tax break works in a Roth IRA is like this. If you made $100,000, that government would tax you like normal. Let's say it's like 30% or whatever it is. You have $70,000 left. And then you could put that inside of the Roth IRA and it would grow. And when you take it out, you wouldn't pay any tax even though it's grown. You get taxed like normal. You put your $6,000 into the Roth, and even when it grows, you don't get taxed on those gains. And that's Roth IRA in a nutshell. Did that make sense? Did I explain that well enough? No capital gains tax. You're taxed like normal. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. So traditional IRA, it's same, but it's different. It's still an IRA, so you invest inside of it. Got to buy your stocks. I've said that a bunch of times. It's an account you buy things inside of. And it has the same contribution limit of 6,000. You can only do 6,000 a year, or 7,000 if you're over 50. And also, please don't get hung up on those limits. It's good to know, but you really don't have to keep track of them all that often. If you have an account in Vanguard or Fidelity, it'll tell you how much you can contribute each year. So you can't mess it up, you know, by not investing enough. Or, I mean, you can mess it up by not putting in enough money. But I mean, if you're like, oh, I'm good at 5,000, it'll be like, you have 1,000 to go, you know. So the contributions for a traditional IRA are pre-tax, and the entire amount of withdrawals are taxed. Traditional IRA, you invest inside of them, limit of $6,000, pre-tax contributions, and the entire amount of the withdrawal is taxed. So enough jargon, let's get into some real deal numbers here. The way the tax break works in a traditional IRA is like this. Let's say, once again, you make $100,000, it's pretty nice, and you put $6,000 into a traditional IRA. Instead of being taxed on the $100,000, you would be taxed on $94,000 that year. That $6,000 that you put into the traditional IRA, it comes right off the top. It's tax deducted. And then when you are old and want to pull that money out, that it's been growing for years, you have to pay tax on that full amount that it's grown. You pay capital gains tax on that. So in short, you can deduct your contributions on your annual taxes, but when you pull it out, when you're 59 and a half, you're going to have to pay capital gains tax. And usually you can tax deduct your entire contribution. However, a scenario when you wouldn't be able to is if you are married and you or your partner file jointly on your tax return and your spouse is covered by a retirement plan at work. And as a couple, your modified annual gross income is more than $105,000, but less than $125,000. Then you'd only get a partial deduction. Now, I also took those numbers straight off of IRS.gov. There's surprisingly a lot of good information on IRS.gov, and it's not too hard to consume. I feel like some of those circumstances are super specific, but it's good to know. Essentially, in summation, with a Roth IRA, you get tax going in, and a traditional, you get tax going out. Does that make sense? Are we all on the same page here? So which is better? That's the question you really probably wanted to answer this entire time. Which one's the best for you? And it depends. Oh, your favorite answer. Oh my gosh. Most people make this decision by comparing their tax bracket now versus tax bracket later. But generally speaking, there is a rule of thumb. The rule of thumb is if you are young or you're a low income earner, you're better off with the Roth tax break. While people who are older or closer to retirement or high income earners may be better off with the traditional IRA. If you can't decide, I'd say Roth. I have a Roth. I think you'll be fine either way, though. I mean, at the end of the day, level with me here. At the end of the day, it's less about the type of IRA account you choose, and it's more about consistently pounding your investments as often as you can. I've said in previous episodes that I've set my Roth monthly contributions to be automated. So as soon as I get paid, swig number three. As soon as I get paid, I have $275 going straight into my Roth without me having to think about it or justify it in my budget. It just happens. You can also do $500 a month, which would you would meet $6,000 at the end of the year. Instead of the $550 a month that I do, I just like doing $550 a month because it leaves some spare cash for me around Christmas time, leaves December open to have that extra money. I Also, little opinion thrown out here. I also highly recommend automating your IRA contributions and your brokerage contributions, because you have to take the guesswork out of your investments. You know, if it makes life a lot easier is what I'm saying. You know, you won't have to be concerned if you're going to be okay when you're 59 and a half, or if you're going to have any money. Just set it up, set it and forget it is what I would say, because you can have it so you're pounding your IRA, and as soon as your IRA is fully contributed to, then you can move into your brokerage, which is my strategy. That's what I do. Another thing I want to cover is a backdoor Roth IRA. This doesn't get talked about that much, and I'm not sure why, but I'm going to talk about it. The backdoor IRA. I mentioned before that there is a income cap on who is allowed to contribute to a Roth IRA. Essentially, ballers are excluded. No ballers allowed. And here's how a backdoor Roth IRA works. Basically, if you're a baller, you can indirectly contribute to your Roth IRA. And this is how you do it. Ballers can contribute into their traditional IRA, which doesn't have any income limits, and then convert that traditional IRA into a Roth IRA. You tracking? And this is legal because while Roth IRA contributions are subject to income limits, Roth IRA conversions are not. I know. What else do you say? If you're a baller, and this has been wrestling on your noggin on how to open a Roth IRA, there you have it. Use a backdoor Roth IRA. The majority of individuals probably are not going to have to use a backdoor Roth IRA, but I thought it would be good to know. So lastly, where can you open an IRA account? You can do it through Vanguard, Fidelity, Schwabby boy. I'm sure there's other ones as well. Any of those guys, I use Vanguard. I'm not going to cover any more information on which one to choose because I feel like I threw a fire hose of information at you this episode, but I will put a comparison chart between Fidelity and Vanguard from Investopedia in the show notes. Once again, I'm not affiliated. I just think it's a good article if you wanted to see some differences. They have it all in one place, and that's nice. Hot dog, that was the episode. I hope you now fully understand the difference between Roth IRAs and traditional IRAs. And if it's not clear enough, feel free to message me at Nicholas Natale. New uploads every single Friday, 6 a.m. Next week, we're going to have on Tom Antione. Tom has never had a job. He's an internet multimillionaire, guy next door, and founder of the only licensed dedicated internet marketing school in the country. It's kind of crazy. He's the subject of a Hollywood documentary, The American Entrepreneur, premiering spring 2021. Should be a banger, honestly. Quick reminder from our sponsors of this episode, Scott Anderson, the legend. He's an entrepreneur coach that is excited about getting your business to the next level. As a listener of the show, cash in your free consultation call by visiting doubledareyou.us. That's doubledareyou.us for your free consultation call. Grow that business. Break through those plateaus, baby. Scott's got my full endorsement. Since you're online, go ahead and go to the nicholasnatale.com/shop. Go to that URL. It's got some merch. Go to youtube.com/nicholasnatale for videos every Monday. We have a great side hustle series coming up, and leave a 5-star review for this podcast. Do it. And then share this episode with a friend on social media. Tell everyone you know. If you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, reach out to me at nicholasnatale on Instagram for more information. And the real reason you are still here in the outro, how do you steal a coat? You jack it. We love you guys. I'll see you next Friday, 6 a.m. for an absolute banger. Goodbye.